there has been a heartbeat for revival that's been in New England for a long time and is growing. I think the biggest challenge to revival happening is seeing it as something that happens in someone else.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Welcome to the show dedicated to helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world. My name is Jared DeNiro, host of the Morning Star Bright Lights podcast. And to all the bright lights out there shining bright with the light of Jesus Christ, thanks for listening in. So glad you could join us. Today's feature conversation is with David Skinner from Restore New England. I loved having this conversation with David about their events where they invite the church to come together in humility to pray, repent, worship, and reflect on the written word of God, recognizing these as the foundation for personal and regional revival. I hope that you'll join us for this great conversation. Today's episode is brought to you by Morningstar Christian Bookstore, New England's local full-service Christian resource provider, with locations throughout the region, including our Manchester, Connecticut store located at 120 Hale Road in Manchester, Connecticut, next to the Christmas Tree Shops. You can find hours and directions to the store nearest you at morningstarbookstore.com. Today's Bright Light Scripture is from Daniel 9:16-19, which says this, O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy hill, because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his pleas for mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear to hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not. For your own sake, O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Daniel is praying to God about the 70 years of Israel's punishment in Babylonian captivity, a punishment that the prophet Jeremiah predicted and proclaimed to the people. The people of Israel were supposed to follow God's law and worship him alone, but they became mixed up in the cultures around them, and they abandoned God and his commands for pagan idols and religious practices. Daniel's focus is on humble confession of sin and a plea for mercy, and he identifies himself with the people of Israel in his plea. Here's what I want to get at in this passage. Daniel 9 is full of Daniel's proclamations of God's true nature and character, and a desperate dependence and yieldedness, which are evidence of a truly repentant heart. This is his prayer for Israel, that they would be this way also. In our day and in our world, there are many modern idols and ideas that distract us and draw us away from God's will for our lives. Just like Daniel, when we confess our sins before God, what we're actually doing is identifying God's righteousness as true, seeking correction, and asking him to realign us with his righteousness and truth. True revival does not happen simply because somebody attends a one-night tent meeting with emotional music and passionate teaching, but instead it occurs in each individual person that admits their sin, surrenders their life to God, and submits to God realigning them with his will, his word, and his way. May it be in the life of the church and in the lives of those who receive the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ here in New England. Let's go now to our feature conversation about how God is using a local grassroots organization to bring the local church together for God's kingdom purposes. Here's my conversation with David Skinner. Thanks for joining us. We're talking with David Skinner from Restore New England, an organization with a mission to pray for gospel awakening in New England, to encourage the local church, to aid pastors and church leaders in equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, and to make war against the kingdom of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Restore New England hosts nights of prayer all around the region that include a time of corporate worship and biblical exhortation. You can connect with David and learn more about Restore New England at restorenewengland.org. David, thank you so much for joining us for this conversation today.
Thanks, Jared. I appreciate the conversation.
I love this idea of Restore New England. I can't wait to hear all about it and share it with our listeners. Tell us briefly about how you came to faith in Christ, your life journey, and the ways that God prepared you to do what you're doing now.
Wait, did you say briefly? I grew up in the church. My dad, both my parents have played music and sang music. I've been playing music since before I was born. That's a joke. That's like a
yes.
I've just always been around it. So I learned the lingo and kind of was a church kid. My track of life was going to go to Bible school in the Midwest, which I ended up doing. The thought was going to come back to New England, go to Gordon-Conwell Seminary, get an MDiv, and then plant a church somewhere around here. The Lord had other plans and redirected me right before I graduated college, ended up getting into business, started a sales job, did that for a couple years in Minnesota, and then moved back here to New England from Southern New Hampshire, and then moved back to Boston fall of 2017. I'm working in sales and member of my church in right outside Boston.
You're now part of the Restore New England team. For anyone who's not familiar, can you talk generally about why Restore New England exists, how the organization fulfills its mission, and what the organization is doing today?
We started shortly after I moved back because I was thinking, how do you make a long-term impact in an area spiritually? There's no formula. You can't say, and this is just the way the Lord works, I think, is you can't say, if I do these things, then people will get saved. If I do these things, then I will grow. There are some things that you can control, but revival anywhere is a product of the Lord working through His Spirit and giving His people a heart of repentance, which is a gift. That's why Ephesians 2 talks about the gift, faith is a gift. The Lord needs to awaken our hearts. So when I moved back, I was thinking, how can I be a part of gathering people together to make a long-term impact? There's no genie lamp to rub. There's no magic fairy dust of revival that, you know, God sent at one time and then, oh, the fairy dust is gone. It seemed to me after looking through local church history, looking at the Great Awakenings, what the Lord did was He responded when a bunch of people got together and prayed. Corporately, they would get together and they would repent from sin. They would pray for their churches. They would pray for their pastors. They would study the word together and they would pray for the lost and they would share the gospel. Restore New England started as a group of friends from different churches that believed the same things, and we would just have prayer meetings in people's houses. And then as time went on, we grew and couldn't find a house that was big enough. So we started meeting in churches because an integral part of revival is being a faithful, healthy member of a church, because that's the mechanism being overseen by faithful elders and pastors who are teaching the word. That's how that discipleship process is governed. We have our prayer meetings in churches. We just get together and pray for revival. That's what we do.
That's so cool. It's so simple. It really is. Prayer. Prayer for revival. Prayer for repentance. The way I understand prayer, it's a way that we communicate with God, but it is also the mechanism by which God aligns us with His will and desire for us. So it would make sense that if we humble ourselves before God and we're praying, that His will would be done in our lives much more readily than if we didn't have that posture of prayer.
So prayer moves God's heart and it changes our own. It's theologically tough when you read the passages where God says He's going to destroy the Israelites. Moses says, please don't. And then God then relents from what it seemed like He was planning on doing.
Sure.
There's a whole lot of theological complexity there. But I think the takeaway that we can conclude is that when we pray, He hears. and he answers. And so the conclusion, I think, should be that we should pray a lot more. If we see that the problem in our world is sin and Christ is the solution, and there's nothing we can do to convince someone to believe in Jesus without the Spirit moving, then we just need to get down and we just need to pray.
Absolutely, 100% agree. What do you think the greatest challenges are to seeing that take place here in New England? I mean, uniting in prayer, spending time worshiping the Lord together. Like it says in the early church, they were attentive to the apostles' teaching. As we are called to be, as the Christian church in this age, attentive to the teachings of the Word of God, being involved in service, evangelism, sharing the gospel. Why is that so tough here? And as part of this organization, this movement, Restore New England, how do you feel God is building into you guys to see those challenges overcome?
There are a lot of smaller churches relative to the rest of America, where you have average size church in New England is 70-something, I think. There's a very different culture. It's really hard work to get your church to show up at any sort of regular interval, read their Bible on a regular basis. I mean, let's just get together and pray as a church. That's hard work as a pastor. This is your life. I've been in churches. I'm in church, and I lead a community group in my church. And just from that level, it's just tough to get people to, you know, care about some like basic, what we would call spiritual disciplines. Because that work is really hard, I think it's easy for different churches who are seeing some growth and getting some momentum, it's easy to become cloistered and say, hey, you know what? We've got enough stuff that we're trying to do here on our own. We don't want to deviate from what we're doing in gathering together with other groups of people that we may not align with totally theologically. We're just going to kind of, we're in our lane. We know what we're doing. I can't necessarily fault anyone for that. That's a real New England kind of attitude. It's kind of a maverick kind of attitude. We're here. We're the frozen chosen, the faithful few. That's one trend of New England. That's the way that we are. That being said, there are a lot of churches that are doing it, that are getting together and having prayer meetings, getting their church corporately together and seeking the Lord together. That is a real thing that is happening, and I'm seeing more and more of it happen, which is really cool and effective. As I speak with some older guys who are twice my age and older, they'll remember different prayer movements, prayer gatherings in the 70s, 80s, 90s, where they've been praying for revival for many years. There has been a heartbeat for revival that's been in New England for a long time and is growing. I think the biggest challenge to revival happening is seeing it as something that happens in someone else. The cycle of revival is, I think, pretty simple. It's repent, worship, and preach. We need to repent. We need to worship Jesus as King, and then we need to preach the gospel. And that's got to start with us. That repentance is a gift. So every day we need to seek the Lord ourselves and say, Lord, please give me, give you, give our churches spirits of humility to where we are and a sensitivity for sin so that we don't continue on just blindly, even as believers, even knowing the truth, blindly going on in a direction. We need the Lord to give us that heart. It has to start with us. Revival has to start with us. I think that the main challenge is thinking that it starts with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you just said there about the core of revival being repentance, worship, and preaching. The entire church is called to all of that. It's not just a select few, certainly not just the people who are serving in ministry proper at the local church. It's everybody. It's everybody. So that leads us to the topic of personal involvement in the church. And I know you mentioned it already. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of personal involvement in the local church and how small church ministry can usher in the revival of the greater church?
We're in Manchester right now. I live right outside Boston. He has placed us where we are for a purpose. Your call and my call are the same in direction, but different in, obviously, location. Our own faithfulness has to start where we are, with our neighbors, in our immediate communities. We all need to take care of our backyards, and I think that's where our focus should start first, with our family, and then work out in concentric circles, being involved in whatever size your church is. I don't think it matters. If you're a part of a faithful local body of believers who are sitting under the teaching of the word on a regular basis, taking the Lord's Supper on a regular basis, spending time in each other's homes on a regular basis, and encouraging each other to do these same patterns, getting to know each other in a way such that you can call out sin in your brother and sister, and you're open enough to where you can be called out. If that's not happening, then again, this revival process isn't happening. It's got to start, it has to start at the local church, because that's the way that the Lord has told us that we are going to remain faithful. He has given pastors the role of guarding the deposit of the gospel, faithfully teaching the word, knowing that they will be judged to a stricter standard. And that's a real responsibility that helps govern this whole process of discipleship as we are sharing the gospel with our neighbors. But it's got to start in immediate local communities and neighborhoods. Where else is it going to start?
I love that illustration of taking care of your own backyard. We had a garden in our backyard for a long time. And the one who was taking care of it regularly would go out there and just love on that garden and worked on it day in and day out. Every free moment that they had, they went from the planting process in a greenhouse through germination to replanting and watering and feeding and making sure that they were free from blight and free from insects and critters and all that. And you know something, that garden grew and produced a lot of vegetables. And not every garden in the neighborhood did that. That is what it takes. So thank you for sharing that. Let's talk through one of the typical Restore New England events, and then talk about why each thing that happens at these events matters. Why do each of the events that take place in the bigger event, why are they important?
Basically, what's our liturgy and why do we do it?
Yes.
Revival is repentance, worship, and preaching. That is what we believe, who we are, and it's just a helpful way to think about. It's a self-perpetuating cycle. So we want our events to embody that cycle. So we get people together and we will pray. We'll break up into prayer groups. That's one of the main things that we do that's uncomfortable for people who've never done it before. And we'll pray through four prompts. The first one is that we would see in some version, we will reword the prompts each time we do it. But the categories are, we ask that the Lord would open our eyes so that we would see him high and lifted up. Because if we don't see God for who he is, it all starts with revelation. If we don't see him for who he is, then we're not going to say, woe is me. If we don't see him in his glory, then that's what kicks off this whole process. So we pray that, number one, before we get started, before we do anything. And we'll sing a couple songs, and then we will ask the Lord to give us a spirit of repentance. We'll pray that over ourselves, also for the churches that are represented. So if we'll break up into, you know, a group of three or four people, and we'll share, you know, what church are you a part of, we're going to pray for your church. They would have a spirit of repentance. Thirdly, we pray for specifically our pastor's church leader. Our third prompt is that we pray for strength, stability, and protection for our local churches against attacks of the enemy, so that our churches would be strong and would continue preaching truth. That's our third prompt. And our fourth prompt is for our communities. We pray for specific people in our group. You know, you name a name of somebody who doesn't know the Lord, who you want to meet Jesus. We'll pray for them specifically, and we'll pray for the communities that we're coming from. The event flows that way after those four prompts, and we have some songs kind of in between a couple of those prayer sessions. Then there will be a message, 20, 25, something like that, minutes, on the topic of prayer. So this year we have four events this year. We're going to be going through conversations that God has with people in the Old Testament, looking at what we can learn about God and about ourselves in these exchanges. So there are many. For example, one might be Moses in the burning bush. What can we learn about how God communicates with us, how we communicate with God, how we should communicate with him? There's a lot to learn from Moses's response and God's response to Moses. And I mean, you look at the conversation with Job, you look at the conversations with Abraham, Hezekiah, David, all throughout the Old Testament, where what we're going to be extracting, what we're going to be looking at in these passages may not necessarily be the main point of that passage, but there are so many different ways that we have these vivid conversations that we can learn from. Prayer moves God's heart as it changes our own, as you had mentioned earlier. We want to be faithful as we can be, as we approach the creator of the universe, not being overly fearful because we have a high priest who intercedes for us. But as we want to be faithful, there's a lot we can learn. So that's what we preach through that, going to go through different vignettes through scripture. And then, we end with a couple songs and then just spend time meeting people in the area. One thing that we've started doing this year, which we hadn't for the first few years, is on Saturday mornings, in order to address the preach component of revival, Saturday mornings, we're going to start having evangelism training, like a seminar in the morning for a couple hours. So we'll, provide breakfast, but have a couple, 2 one-hour sessions with some Q&A group discussion to help to equip the saints with the work specifically of sharing the gospel. Because, for me, the weakness that I have is I want people to know Jesus. I want them to eat from the bread of life and be satisfied. I've done the whole and still do. We're all inclined to hew out broken cisterns that don't hold any water. I want people to know Jesus and to not be doing that. I know that I definitely can grow in my skill of initiating spiritual conversations, gospel conversations. And sometimes it's just hard to even know where to start, where there's a friend that you have, where you've got a great relationship. You know they probably would listen to you if you initiated a gospel conversation or some sort of spiritual conversation that's pointed towards Jesus. But it may be hard to know how to actually do that, like go about that actual process of someone who you just kind of hang out with, casually talk about, sports, whatever, how to go from there to actually sharing the hope. Some people, I think, are really gifted evangelists and don't need as much help with that. I would love to say that that was me. It's not really me. It's not a natural process for me, which, I wish I was better. So you can get better with everything if you just spend some time working on it. So we want to help provide tools and resources for people to get just slightly more comfortable guiding a conversation towards, hey, can I tell you about the hope that I have?
So good. I think that's fantastic. It sounds like it has been put together in a very intentional way to complement and support the idea of true revival within the church community that spreads. That's great. So cool. Can you share some stories about how God has worked through Restore New England to engage, equip, and encourage the church in New England? And what have been the results of those events?
I have a lot of different friends from a lot of different areas. So we're here in Manchester, New Hampshire. I have a lot of friends in the South Shore of Boston, Vermont, Maine. There are people that come from all over New England to these events. Sometimes, if you got a center point, someone's coming from 80 miles one way, someone's coming from 80 miles the other way. They might live like a 3-hour drive from each other, but they meet at this event and they're able to share and say, what's the Lord doing in Hartford, Connecticut? And, you could say, well, here's what's going on in Manchester, New Hampshire. So, it's kind of a hike, but you're able to unite over the right stuff, praying for our area that we all live in, New England. I think about Elijah. He was depressed, discouraged, after he found out Jezebel was trying to kill him, running, hiding in caves. And he says to God, am I the only one left to serve you? And God rebukes him and says, there are 7,000 that I have left for myself who have not bowed the knee to Baal. And when we get together, uniting in the gospel, so for Restore New England, as we unite in the gospel, submit to the authority of scripture, and believe that revival happens through the local church, these are the ideas and the things that we're uniting in. It's not unity for the sake of just togetherness. It is unity, principled unity with a purpose. I'm really encouraged. I meet people that from churches and towns that I didn't know existed who are faithfully preaching the gospel. You and I are sitting here having this conversation. I'm so encouraged to look at the books on your bookshelf and say, these people are preaching the word. And this is a really encouraging thing. I was not aware of your church before we met. And praise God that you guys are faithfully preaching. I love to hear that. And it's a real encouragement when you feel like maybe you're in a job environment or a work environment or your family where no one knows the Lord, and you are, or maybe you're in a school or university setting, college setting, where everyone is just you know, 2 Corinthians talks about tearing down strongholds that are lifted up against the knowledge of God. You may be around these strongholds where all you hear is attacks against the knowledge of God, attacks against the person of Jesus. And it's just really discouraging. And it's kind of like, you know what? Being a Christian is like not that important. That idea can very easily creep in. And when you meet people who are on fire for God and are like, man, Jesus is worth following. That's number one why you go to church. So yes. Plug for the local church, go to church, make some friends at your church that believe that. But also it's helpful to see people that are 100 miles away, that are a couple hundred miles away, they're even 20, 30 miles away. It's a little shot in the arm to just say, you know what? For the next few days, next couple weeks, this is gonna just lift my spirits. And I think a lot of our life is looking for how can I just be encouraged in truth and encouraged to keep on keeping on Hebrews 12, keeping our eyes on the prize. And I think these events do that. So that's kind of, those are a couple of general benefits, I think. One specific is we went to a church in Union Baptist Church in St. Johnsbury, Vermont, this past October. It's an area where there aren't really any schools. There's not a lot of immigration to that general area. More people are moving away. Kids will grow up and move away, and there's not really a whole lot of reasons to come back to that area. Just a lot of spiritual darkness. You have, I think, in that town, there was something like a dog church or a temple or something like that, where they would go and worship animals, basically.
Wow.
Just total darkness, where they're grasping for anything. I mean, Hosea talks about there are people going up to a tree or a rock and worshiping it, inquiring of a stone. And that's what's going on here. So this is a dark area. We were able to join with these churches and pray for them, which was great, as we normally do, pray with them, for them. A few of the pastors had come up to the host pastor in the area and said, hey, this was really great. You know, we should do this again. And the pastor, Pastor Bullock in St. Johnsbury, he said, yeah, that's great. It's a lot of work. So you guys want to help? It seemed kind of like, we'll see if this ever happens again. I spoke with him a couple weeks ago, and he said that event had ignited a desire with a couple Assembly of God pastors in the area. There's a Presbyterian pastor, a Methodist pastor, that all preach the same gospel. And they are uniting under this banner of praying for their churches in their area. So they are now starting to do monthly prayer gatherings specifically for gospel revival. And I was just blown away by that. I was so encouraged to see that there was a spark that was lit that encouraged these people that have that have strong theological convictions and they don't agree on these maybe secondary or tertiary issues. But they're getting together and they're praying for the primary things of repentance, worship, and evangelism to grow and spread. And they're, I don't know, it's a probably 20, 30 mile radius of these guys getting together. So encouraged by that.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Wow, that is what it takes. It takes somebody coming in and saying, this is important. Maybe it's something that you already knew was important, but because of the discouraging situation that you're in, it's not a priority right now. Maybe you thought it could happen. Maybe you wished that it could happen, but it just got buried under stuff. The challenges seemed insurmountable. And then someone comes in, the Lord sends somebody like the team from Restore New England to say, hey, this is possible. Let's do this together and see what God does. Let's trust him for the future. Let's do what his word says to do in repenting, in worshiping, and in preaching the gospel. See what happens. So encouraged to hear that.
Dude, it's tough. I mean, I don't want to just dwell on the fact that ministry is hard. It is. It's work. I mean, anything else, it's work. It's rewarding. And I'm, again, not a pastor, but even just leading a community group at my church, I see that. I rejoice with the people who I'm in community with when, you know, someone, you know, comes to know the Lord, or when there's a positive conversation with the family, or, you know, we live as ministers, we live in the joys, but there's a lot of work where it's just feels like you're talking to people, their marriages are struggling, you have single parents, you have people that are, there's all sorts of struggles that we could go infinite, there are infinite struggles. And so it's even hard to Think about hosting an event and gathering a bunch of people together. That's just the last thing that somebody, especially at a smaller church that doesn't have a lot of resources, it's hard to think about that. And we don't really do anything special other than we just bring a bunch of people and we just help run an event. That's literally it. And we write some prayer prompts and we encourage people to pray with someone they've never prayed with before. Literally, that's all we do. And the Lord seems to use it.
Amen.
Yeah.
What would you say were your top three influences that you would share with people regarding this idea and just pursuing a life of ministry, evangelism, and discipleship? Your top three books, people that you should go look up, podcasts, what would you recommend?
The main influence, I think, in getting people together to pray scripture, just seeing how you look at, we started the organization before the election, the whole election disaster cycle of just complete and utter chaos. Everyone's lying to everyone about everything. You look around, it's like there's no clarity, there's no truth. And we didn't need that to know, but that just accentuated the fact that sin is the problem and Jesus is the solution. And seeing in scripture how the way that you solve the problem of sin is by asking God to change people's hearts and then just sharing the gospel. That's, I would say, the major influence. As far as a book that's been really helpful and encouraging is a book called Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. And it's, I may be actually out of print. I think it is out of print. I'm glad I was able to get a copy. You can find it. And he talks about aggressive prayer, aggressive, purposeful, intense prayer on a regular basis. That was just really encouraging. It was he talks a little bit about a little bit of history, but it's mostly that you want to see revival. You want to see a group of people, collective group of people, turn away and follow Jesus. We got to just get on our knees and pray. I mean, that's what it is. We need to pray and we need to share the gospel. Why Revival Tarries by Leonard Ravenhill. It's got a picture of a flame circle on the front of it. Incredible, incredible book.
Awesome. We've talked about so much, and it's awesome to hear about how God is using Restore New England to encourage people to pray and to come together to worship Him and to prepare to bring the message of the gospel to the people around them and around New England. If you could share one thing to engage, equip, and encourage the Morningstar Bright Lights community, as well as the greater church in New England, in our nation, and around the world to shine as bright lights for Jesus Christ, what would you tell them?
I would say, as soon as you're done listening to this podcast, pray immediately, not a long prayer, it doesn't have to be, but a quick prayer and make it a regular prayer. But even just right now, pray for a heart of humble repentance. If that happens, where you and I and every person in every church in New England, let's just say Christians are 3%. There are 3% of New England that actually knows the gospel. Let's call it 1%. Who knows? I don't actually know what the number is, and I'm not convinced anyone actually knows what that number is. If those people, if it was 0.5%, if those people had hearts of humility that sought the Lord and lived in rhythms of confession, repentance, and humility, our whole world would change. Our whole world would change. We would adopt the mind of Christ in Philippians 2, and we would realize it is okay to risk our reputation in sharing the gospel if we have hearts of humble repentance.
Amen. May it be. May it be here in New England that we would have a spirit of humility before God. Lay our idols down, whatever it is that's keeping us from doing what God wants us to do, and that we would live fresh, empowered by His Holy Spirit to experience that abundant life that He has for us and to walk in obedience to Him, to love the people around us and to share with them the best thing we ever had, which was right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and invite them to enjoy that the same.
Every time I've prayed this prayer, God has answered very quickly. Pray the prayer. Ask God to reveal sin in your life that you didn't know was there. And He will reveal that thing. As He roots out sin in us, our ability to more clearly communicate the hope of the gospel will become very evident.
Amen. Absolutely. David, it was awesome to have this conversation with you about Restore New England. I'd love to get out to one of these events when they are relatively close to where I am.
And they're all in New England. You live in New England.
That's right. It's just a quick drive. How can people connect with you, get involved with you, and support you in your ministry in preparing everyday Christians to live as disciples and disciple makers of Jesus Christ, both here in New England and around the world?
Yeah, so our website's restorenewengland.org. We do four events a year, and we would love to pray if you're anywhere close, or if we should be doing an event in your area, then please send us an email. I read all the emails. We've got a few people that are reading emails, so we get back to you right away. contact@restorenewengland.org.
He is David Skinner, restorenewengland.org. Thank you so much for being a part of the conversation.
Thank you.
Special thanks to David for talking with us. If you would like to learn more about Restore New England and see when the next event will take place in your area, visit restorenewengland.org. All applicable links are available in this episode's show notes. Morningstar Christian Bookstore has an ever-growing selection of books, Bibles, gifts, and more available with direct-to-home shipping on our website. You can browse the selection and learn more at morningstarbookstore.com. Bright lights, together we shine brighter. If this podcast is engaging you, encouraging you, and equipping you to shine brighter in your circles and spheres, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow as we share solutions for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you know someone who's shining the light of Christ in their unique gifting and planting with a heart to bring New England forward in evangelism, ministry, and the abundant Christian life as disciples and disciple makers, we would love to hear about them. Send suggestions for featured guests to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com. Well, that's all the time that we have together today. On behalf of our entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thank you for listening. Join us again for our next episode, and remember, together, we shine brighter.